Welcome, everyone, to a Monday edition, if you couldn't tell, to the morning show here at WFHR. Let them know, Marvin. You know your part, right? Oh, yeah, he got it.
He's got it.
Yeah. Got your host, James, sheepishly behind the microphone. Our head of news and our head of our co-host, our main co-host, Melissa Kay, with us right now.
Good morning.
And our head of production co-host, Seth Patbacker.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a great start to your Monday and your week out there. We're going to kick things off the way we like to with our good friend, Brittany Merlot, talking a little Mother Nature. Good morning, Brett.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing good.
Right.
I saw at the last second that you had called it. I saw it. So I was like, well, we got to get Brittany on. We always got to go talk live if we have a chance to talk with you, Britt. How was your weekend?
Oh, it was fantastic. It was warm. Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
I was
no kidding.
Shorts yesterday.
Yeah, nice.
That's brave.
Any chance. I'm with you. I was in them, too. All day yesterday, as much as I could. I even took out the garbage and recycling in shorts, which was not the best idea because it was much darker out and much colder out. But still, I did it, and I was proud. Brittany, what is it going to look like today? Not shorts weather, I'm guessing.
We're still hanging on to some of that warmth, honestly. So if you missed your chance, you can try again today. Highs at about 40 degrees. So, well above average. A lot of sunshine out there. Crystal clear skies right now. It'll get a little breezy this afternoon. Winds around 20 miles per hour. But this is the warmest day of the week. We are going to be falling from here on out. Mm. We'll have highs in the upper 20s tomorrow, low 20s by Wednesday, and single digits on Thursday.
Ooh.
Wednesday night through Thursday all the way into Friday morning is going to be very brutally cold. So I just wanted you guys to all get ready for that and really just enjoy today because it's going to feel a world of difference in just 4 days.
All right.
Wow.
Countdown is on. If we can't have snow, we'll have the cold to make us feel like Christmas time and everything. So one way or the other.
A little bit of snow. We can get a little bit of snow on Wednesday if you want.
Oh, there we go.
Right.
See, there we go.
Yeah.
She's taking requests now. That's kind of funny.
Yeah. Awesome.
We appreciate you, Brittany. Have a great morning.
Thanks, you too.
Best in the business right there, our friend Brittany Merlot joins us every Monday through Friday right in this time slot. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to some other fun stuff we got lined up today. The El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club right around the corner. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to that one. Got a That Ain't Right story that I feel like is getting right here at the end of the year.
Ooh.
Could be one of our top That Ain't Right stories at the end
for
of the
year. For the year in review,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah. Year in review of That Ain't Right stories. We will be having that the last week of the month. Be on the lookout for that one, everybody. We'll also have, what is the most dangerous Christmas song to drive to?
To drive to?
What's, the one you hate.
Nicely done.
Nice.
What's the world's most expensive Christmas tree? We've got that one coming up as well.
Oh, boy.
It's a Monday.
The one that burns down.
It's a Monday. You know what that means. We will kick the 9 o'clock hour off with the kitchens open. Beth Habhager will be joining us.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Looking forward to talking with Beth, and that'll be fun. And then after that, we'll get in some entertainment news. Got a bunch of great stuff coming up, including we're going to talk about Dick Van Dyke doing his thing, singing and dancing at 98.
Awesome.
I love Dick Van Dyke.
That is coming up for you in the 9 o'clock, as well as a couple of other fun things. Quote-unquote, collector's items you can stop collecting. Collector's items you can stop collecting.
Stop it.
You can stop it now. We'll get into that and some other fun stuff and plenty more. It's live radio. Who knows what can happen? We got a lot of great local events going on as well that we want to touch on. Get into all of that. Speaking of local events and local things, that's where we want to kick our show off. Because today and for the next couple of weeks, keep that Civic Media app handy, everybody, because we've got Civic Media's statewide grown-up gift list text-to-win contest going on.
We do. Yeah. Awesome. So awesome.
Every hour at the top of the 11 a.m. hours and the 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock hours in the afternoon, we're going to give you a keyword. You text it to us, and you can either win some cash over an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resorts in the Wisconsin Dells.
Win.
Ooh, nice.
Yes.
And then
vacation inside in the cold.
Oh, that's a nice idea. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And at the end of all this, we're going to give eight of our grand prize winners at a random gifts.
Yes.
We got a robot vacuum, a humidifier, an espresso machine, a snowblower, a luggage set. I keep staring at the espresso machine.
Yeah.
snowblower? Wow.
That's cool, huh?
Yeah, I mean, we're not messing around. We are not messing around.
Is there a microwave on the list?
Don't see it. Don't see
it. No, I can't win anyway.
Maybe you could trade. Maybe yeah. But who knows? Who knows? But you
get she's got all the other stuff. So yeah.
Get in on this one.
Yeah, everybody. Right.
We already had a couple of people text in and win.
Yes, we did.
Text in over on Civic Me over on WIRI, which was fun this morning.
Yeah.
Be listening for that again at 11 a.m. today, and then 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock this afternoon. Get in on this one. Download the Civic Me app wherever you download your apps.
It's free.
It's easy.
Take
it's awesome.
Take us with you wherever you go, everybody. And thank you so much to everybody who has already downloaded the app. That thing has been wonderful. It's been a really cool
thing. Very cool.
We begin our show with a interesting one here. The mom in A Christmas Story would have really had a problem with this one. A guy in Neptune Beach, Florida, decided to have a competition with his neighbors to see who could come up with the best Christmas decoration. Neptune Beach is right next to Jacksonville, for those that didn't know.
Okay.
His name is J.P. Mekalik. It's not clear if his neighbors even knew there was a contest, by the way. But he definitely won it either way.
Oh, okay.
With his giant version of the Christmas tree story leg.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yes. And, I'm
and
sure
it is giant. Oh, my goodness.
It is. It does look like it's about as tall as his house.
It does. Nice. Seriously. My goodness.
It's also,
he's standing next to it. He looks small.
It's also very pale, though.
Yeah.
It's very pale. It doesn't look exactly like the leg,
yeah.
if I could pick at it.
It's not
it
as colorful
bit.
As yeah. the one in the movie. Yeah,
yeah. yeah. It stands 20 feet tall in the front yard, so you can't miss it.
Yeah.
He says it's 420 times bigger than the one in the movie.
Wow.
He used golf netting for the fishnet stocking. He also got a statue of Ralphie in his pink bunny suit hugging the lamp.
Oh.
And yes, just in case the neighbors were wondering, it does light up at night.
Oh, awesome.
He says he's just a huge fan of the movie and thinks it's amazing it's still so popular 41 years later.
Mm-hmm.
But he admitted a lot of kids don't get the reference.
Yeah.
No, they wouldn't.
Not surprising.
They wouldn't.
I don't want to call it out, just for, privacy's sake and everything, but I was driving through one of our nicer neighborhoods here in Wisconsin mm-hmm. Rapids. We've got some really beautiful old houses around here.
Mm-hmm. We sure do.
It's honestly one of the things that I enjoy about this time of year and going around looking at Christmas mm-hmm. lights is also getting to see some of the architecture and some of these really cool designs, some of these houses. If you ever get a chance, Stevens Point is the place to do that. It is,
wow, yeah.
They've got such amazing old houses. All
they do.
Scattered throughout that whole entire city. So I just enjoy seeing some of those. But there is one in particular where it's just a very beautiful, very fancy house. I've seen it my whole time I've lived here. And I'm driving past the other day, and way at the top window is the lamp
nice.
Leg. I was awesome. So blown away by that. If I wasn't driving, I would have stood there and just clapped.
Yes.
I would have just slow
well
clapped.
Done.
Just, like, nicely done. There's certain gifts. I don't know if there's a lot of this, but there's certain things that are just, very seasonal. But then there's other are very generational.
Yes.
But for the most part, most Christmas things are pretty universal. Like, most mm-hmm. people get them. I'm a little surprised that I hadn't thought of this one not being universal. But, yeah, it would make sense that not a lot of people would. But of all the confusing Christmas ornaments, tell me this is not the most confusing one. Like, if you haven't seen The Grinch, and you see The Grinch, you're like, okay, well, it's some kind of
right,
Christmas
right,
thing.
Right,
it's green at
yeah,
least.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
And he wears a Santa hat, yeah.
If mm-hmm. you're a kid and you see this one, like, you've got, oh my God, I'm naughty. What is that doing up there? It's got to be the most confusing.
That's very confusing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's such a specific reference. You know, you cannot get it from anything else.
And if it wasn't confusing enough to see how, one that is 420 times bigger.
Yeah. Ginormous.
But then again, it's Florida. So I don't know. Would this stand out?
They get
out?
A pass.
I mean, they kind of do, don't they? They kind of, they get really, I don't know, get really out of that one.
Man.
I'm not sure about that one.
I don't know
sure.
either, but sure. that's all right. That's all right.
I did want to mention this one real quick before we go to break. The Canadian Pacific Kansas City holiday train that mm-hmm. rolls into Wisconsin that is bobbing through towns. It has been since the 7th. They've got a schedule coming up where they are going to be near us, the closest they'll be to us today.
Oh, okay.
They will be in Portage at Avbeck on Avbeck Street at 1:15. Mm. They'll be in the Dells at 2:45, Mauston at 4:15, Toma at 5:30, Sparta mm-hmm. at 6:50, and La Crosse at 8:30.
There you go. Nice. That is so cool.
Holiday Train fans can follow along on all social media outlets. Just type in your search bar Holiday Train, and you should be able to find it. But that's a fun one that they do. I've never gotten to check that out, but I love trains. I think that'd be fun.
That was a connective thing, because I remember that would travel up to North Dakota. And it would make stops there. I remember, of course, later in the year, closer to Christmas. But I remember that just very distinctly a couple of times. They would say, hey, the Christmas train is coming. So it's really cool that it can go all the way up the route there. It's really neat. Mm-hmm.
And this does not feature a weird animated Tom Hanks. So you don't have to worry about that. You know, your kids don't have to be freaked out by that.
Really, that was weird.
That is weird. As far as like divisive like Christmas movies, that feels like the Polar only Express. One I can really think of, because either people seem to love it or are creeped out by it.
Yeah, right. That's true.
That's a fun one.
I never saw it.
This one,
surprise!
I've never seen it either, Melissa. I've never seen that one. I've just heard so many people talk about it for so many years.
Oh gosh. I just came up with an idea. I'll have to talk to you guys later.
Yes. Off air. We're definitely doing that. Find out about the great holiday train at cpkcr.com. cpkcr.com.
Cool.
We will take a time out. Come back with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. It's Melissa, Seth, and James taking you through your Monday morning right here at WFHR. It's time to do some celebrating with our great friends over at El Cafe. We encourage you tomorrow to treat yourself. Get on over to El Cafe tomorrow at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards.
Because they're closed today. If you didn't figure that out.
He's standing outside in the cold for a while there.
Keep that in mind. And we hope they had a great weekend over there. They will be all rested and ready to go tomorrow. They've got a bunch of great specials lined up for you. And plenty of other fun things seasonally to go along with the holiday season and everything over at El Cafe. Can only imagine they're going to be having even more fun with that menu.
Oh, absolutely.
Find out yourself at El Cafe at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Buy local, support local, support those that support us.
I'm gonna get a hold of Fidel, and I'm going to ask him if he would do lutefisk for Christmas, see if he's at all interested in serving that. So
isn't that take like a long preparation period?
It's not that long, but you have to, the timing has to be perfect when you take it out, because otherwise it turns into like soup. So
really, I didn't know any of that.
Yes,
oh, interesting.
Fly soup.
Yeah,
wow, that's really interesting to me. Huh? I didn't know. We are very interested by your birthdays and anniversaries. Get them to us, everybody. info@wfhr.com. You can email us that way. Email any of our staff, of course. Direct message us on our Facebook pages also, and of course you can call up.
That's right, 715-424-2600.
Encourage for you to hear from us. Encourage you to get that Civic Media app. Get in on the winning the next couple of weeks as well.
Yeah.
Keep that app handy.
Lots of reasons to have that handy, yeah.
We have one set of possible qualifiers on our list today, so we get to put the spotlight on Jerry and Marge Wendt celebrating their 63rd anniversary.
Oh, wow. Jerry and Marge, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Happy anniversary.
That's beautiful.
That's awesome.
I want to say pretty much every year I've done this, I've gotten to wish Jerry and Marge a happy anniversary.
Nice.
We thank them very much. Just gives us an opportunity to shout out our longtime listeners who keep this list in this really fun and everything. Happy 63rd, you two. Keep celebrating.
Yes,
keep
indeed.
Keep on celebrating. We take a look at our celebrity list. Simon Helberg is 44 today. Howard Wolowitz on The Big Bang Theory.
He's actually quite a good actor. Yeah. And a very good mimic, too, actually. He does a lot of really good celebrity voices and stuff. He's very good at it.
Yeah, I saw him on Conan once, and he went to town
he
on those.
Really good, yeah.
I want to say he was in Oppenheimer or something dramatic that I saw him in recent years, and just nailed it. Just was really good.
I think he's really good, yeah.
He's a good actor. Let's see here. Imogen Heap is 47. I think it was an actor or a music act, right? Or something, I don't know.
I don't know.
A while back. It was in the 90s, if you want to.
All right.
Imogen Heap.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank you.
I love her. She's amazing.
She is awesome. Yes, thank you. Yeah, I have to admit, I found out about her because of an Andy Samberg sketch and ended up
of
really liking her voice and everything.
Wow.
It's one of my favorite sketches he ever did, but the song that they used for it was hers, and it got me interested in her voice. Mm. And like, oh, this is...
Yeah.
This
no, is I really like her a lot. Hide and Seek, Headlock, Speeding Cars. There's so many good songs she does.
Cool.
Really unique voice. Mm-hmm. Really unique. Trey Cool is 52, Green Day drummer. I don't know if that's his real name. I'm guessing it isn't, but I'm just going to go ahead and assume that it is. I'm just going to let it assume that it is.
His real name is Trey Cool. Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Man, if your last name is Cool, seriously.
If that was your real name. If
Is that awesome to have the last name Cool, or is it like way too much pressure?
Oh, I like
be
that.
Cool,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I like the idea of it being...
I blame Snoopy.
Yeah. His middle name ain't... yes! Oh, boy. It's a Monday.
Nothing like saying your parents hate you from birth.
Right? Jacob Dylan is 55. Bob Dylan's son, lead singer of the Wallflowers. I believe they're still touring and still and everything too.
He's done a few solo albums himself as well. He's very, very talented, actually.
Yeah, he's got one or two songs where I hear his voice. Certainly, like you can't hear his voice. You didn't need to hear that his last name was Dylan. You kind of get.
You can hear it in his voice.
Yeah.
Although I think he's a better singer.
His dad absolutely. Is, yeah. I think that his father would even admit that he's a better singer. I don't know that Bob had an ego necessarily in that regard with his singing.
Really.
I think with his lyrics it'd be different.
Oh, yes.
But his singing, I bet you he'd probably admit that Jacob's got a better voice. I think he does, for sure. And he's got a couple songs that really stand out of his that are like, apple not far from tree.
Yep.
You know? Maybe not, certainly not the level of his father by any means, but some stuff that you could see, it's there.
And he's never, cashed in on his name.
Yeah.
He's always been like under the radar, keeping it cool kind of thing. Speaking of cool.
Feels like a Dylan thing.
Yeah.
It feels like something that's a family thing.
Yeah,
Nicely done. Felicity Huffman is 62. Desperate Housewives star. Acted in a number of things.
Very good actress, yes.
Let's see here. Kurt Angle is 56, former WWE superstar and, of course, Olympic gold medal winner. Donny Osmond is 67.
One bad apple don't spoil the whole bunch, girl.
Sorry. Nice. I was going to just keep going, but I had to let you keep going. I think two of the greatest actors to ever do it, sharing birthdays today. One of them, John Malkovich, 71, for Chicago's own. Gotta love Malkovich.
Fascinating actor. Fascinating person, I'm telling you. It's a one of a kind.
Such a good bad guy.
In a day and age, too, where it's just, and not just day and age, but in a time where most actors, they get to their older age, even 50s, and you start seeing them play caricatures of themselves. All Malkovich has done with the second half of his career is push himself and try to be better and working at the craft while also helping a lot of other actors get their start or fine-tune their skills, which is not surprising considering John Malkovich, Gary Sinise, Mesha Taylor, the godfathers of Steppenwolf Theater in Chicago, which is essentially the Broadway of the Midwest. The greatest acting done in the Midwest is happening at Steppenwolf Theater, and a lot of it begins with John Malkovich. Michael Dorn is 72.
Hey, Worf.
Worf. I've never been a Star Trek person, but I have in the last couple of years seen the Star Trek Next Generation a little bit and everything. Mm-hmm. And I kind of get to watch this as not necessarily like a Trekkie or anything. Mm-hmm. I'm watching it as somebody who's just interested and find it interesting and stuff. And I really admire the way that they took that show and did the same thing they did with the original. We're going to put our money on makeup. We're going to put our money on costumes. We don't have the money for the actors. We don't have the money for some of these things, but we're going to put it into it, and we're going to get actors that are all in.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Dorn was one of those. And I was really surprised because I had only ever seen him act without the makeup and all that. Really impressed with the makeup for one.
Yeah.
Like for its time, really good makeup.
Yes.
Worked with his face and everything.
They sure did.
Mm-hmm. And his performance in that, like in Data, like those are bona fide. I thought it was just Sir Patrick Stewart that was the bona fide actor on that show. No, there's a lot of them, and those two are two of the big ones.
Man, and I mean, he's not only that, he's got that voice, you know, that deep, resonant voice.
Helped him with Allstate or whatever, the State Farm.
Yeah, he's done a shared commercial voiceovers as well. But you know what? He not only played Worf on Next Generation, he went on and played him for a couple more years on Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. How long it took that prosthetic to be put on every single day.
That's
probably
crazy
a couple of hours, and then like an hour and a half to take it off again.
Mm-hmm. And then to have to act through that?
And then act through it. Oh, man. And apparently, I just learned this recently, he does a dead-on Ed McMahon.
That's awesome.
From some of the other Star Trek people, they said, yeah, his Ed McMahon is awesome.
You are correct, sir.
And he looks so different without the makeup on. He is an incredibly handsome man.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I would love the challenge of having to work through all that makeup. But man, that seems... I just hearing Colin Farrell talk about what it took to get into the penguin costume and everything. Yeah. He's like, I never want to do that again. Like, he enjoyed it. He loved it. He's sure. like, I'm done. I don't want to do that role anymore.
That's a lot of work, man.
Mm-hmm. Beau Bridges is 83, Jeff's brother.
Yes.
The legend Dame Judi Dench is 90 today.
Oh. Wow.
Shakespeare's own, man. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. She's so wonderful.
Incredible. Incredible. I'm so happy she's still going. And she still works from time to time.
She does.
And then some people no longer with us. One of the greatest linebackers of all time, Dick Butkus, born in 1942, passed away in 2023. You can make the argument the greatest football name of all time.
I mean, seriously.
You really can make that argument. I'm not saying it is. It's an open contest. There is no wrong answers, but I do think that Dick Butkus is
Dick Butkus up
that's
there.
That's a football name.
Ray Nitschke was always one for me, too. Those are close, Bronco Nagurski is my all-time favorite, though. One. Good old Bronco.
Kirk Douglas, born in 1916, passed away in 2020. John Malkovich, Dame Judi Dench, Kirk Douglas, three of the greatest you'll ever see.
The greatest, my goodness. Oh.
Dick Van Patten, born on this day in 1928, passed away in 2015. Another good one.
A lot of Mel Brooks movies back in the 70s. Yeah. He certainly was, yes.
I'm coming for you, Weezy! I'm coming for you! Red Fox, born this day in 1922, passed away in 1991. Of course, Sanford and Son superstar. Mm-hmm. Plenty of other movies and performances. Red Fox, really one of the originators, too. You know, Eddie Murphy, Richard Pryor, so many people will tell you. We don't know. There is no us without him.
Red Fox was not a what they would call an over-the-counter comic, because he did a lot of his stuff was, you know, kind of raunchy and that kind of stuff. If you wanted a Red Fox album, you had to ask for, you know, hey, you got Red Fox, and that's under-the-counter stuff. Yeah. That was not on display.
Yeah.
But he had, I mean, and his albums, what they were called party albums, I mean, that they were circulated around the black community for years and years. And then we only got to see him, like, really as a big star when he was older at Sanford and Son. But, man, did he take hold and grab that one.
Real name, John Elroy Sanford.
Ooh, I don't know if I knew
his real
that.
Name was Sanford?
Nicely done.
Yeah.
Oh, is that...
I didn't know that.
What is the chances of... Oh, is that cool? How cool is that?
That's really neat.
Melissa, you made my morning. That's awesome. That is so cool. That is really interesting to hear. I also got to say, too, the early version of mixtapes. Were those tapes? Those were the early mixtapes that people would hand out and stuff.
They would go around. Yep,
it's pretty cool.
Circulate them.
Yeah, we wish one more time a very happy 63rd anniversary to Jerry and Marge Wendt.
Happy anniversary,
Jerry and Marge! Congratulations. Yeah. Happy anniversary.
Wishing you two the best of anniversaries. Get us more of these, everybody. We're looking forward to celebrating with you tomorrow when we do this all over again. Our El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club.
They're open on Tuesday.
Yeah. Make plans to head on over there tomorrow, everybody, 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. We'll be back after some news and, of course, taking care of our partners here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show, WFHR. It's that time of year. Christmas jingles.
Mm-hmm.
We've got them in there. We're going to be playing them throughout the whole, right up until Christmas.
That's right.
Right up to that.
Keep it going, man.
We will stop right after Christmas.
What? Why?
Maybe.
Doesn't
we'll
the holiday
see.
Season just like carry on through New Year?
It really does.
The 12 days of Christmas, if we want to go all the way. Yeah. Till the 6th of January, actually.
I think two of the more interesting questions that come up this time of year is when to take your Christmas tree down and when do you stop listening to Christmas music?
That's a good one.
And I don't know if there's really a wrong answer other than July.
As long as you start after Thanksgiving and you take it down before the end of January. That's my parameters.
That's pretty broad. So, you know, you should be able to fit in there.
Yeah.
I'll give you some leeway. Don't limit my Christmas music.
No. The city of Bend, Oregon is hoping someone made eye contact with the vandal who has been sticking googly eyes on everything in town. We kick off this segment with a That Ain't Right story, and in part so that I can play this right here, everybody.
And now, indoor gardening tips from a man who's very scared of plants.
Hi. These are my cactuses. I put googly eyes on them. A lot of people are putting googly eyes on their cactuses nowadays. I think it's because cactuses are dangerous. Cactuses have pricklers that can stab you in your hands, or your throat, your face. So you need to know where you stand with them at all times. The only
need to know where you stand with them. Maybe that's all this guy was trying to do, was the famous Christopher Walken sketch from Saturday Night Live, the googly eye sketch.
Oh, my gosh.
Are
all of his sketches classic?
They might be.
They might be.
Probably.
Yeah.
They should be.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's on the SNL Hall of Fame.
Yes.
They don't know who's been doing this, but somebody's been putting googly eyes on everything in the town of Bend, Oregon. And I mean everything. Statues, artwork. It's getting so out of hand that the city made a social media post about it and begged the predator to knock it off.
Knock it off.
They shared some photos and said the googly eyes placed on the various art pieces around town might give you a chuckle, but it costs money to remove them and with care and did not damage the art.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Let's stay away from adhesives, graffiti, and all things that can damage the art. They say there has been about $1,000 worth of damage done.
Ooh.
So far.
Oh, yikes. See, now that's the downside. Yeah.
Yeah, if it's damaging, that's not good.
Most of the comments poked fun at the local government for going after the person who did it, but since there is actual damage done, the person or persons will be facing criminal charges.
It is vandalism. Yep.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
is.
Yeah. It's a shame, too. Now, I will say this. You could have done this if we worked with the city. It's Oregon. Like, everything I heard living in California and moving out to California, all that, oh, California's the wild state. Oh, they're out there and all that. No, Oregon. Oregon's the wild state.
Californians are like, no, not us. It's up north.
The whole state of California is essentially on the second floor of an apartment building that Oregon and Washington are just like, what you guys keep it? I don't think people realize it unless you've been on the West Coast. They are up to some stuff. It is awesome. I want in on all of it.
That's awesome.
That seems like a fun story, though. That also mm-hmm. seems like something, though, that, yeah, you could.
They're so isolated up there. That's why. They got to keep things interesting, you know?
If he could have just found a way, or they could have just found a way to do it without damaging the statues.
Then that would have been a lot better.
Story.
But, yeah.
Now, time for an interesting list here I want to get into with you guys. If you thought Christmas music was fun and jolly, well, some of it is. Of course, the majority of it is. And some of it can actually be dangerous. According to Insurance Opedia, that is a website.
That's a thing, okay.
Insurance Opedia, songs with over 120 beats per minute can lead to dangerous driving habits. And that's just any song, not just Christmas
songs. Right, exactly.
And here are the top 10 Christmas hits that can, you know, be the most dangerous. Now, we got to start at the bottom, right? At
yes, we got to start. Let's work our way up on this
one. I want to make sure and see if I've got any of these on our tags list.
On
here.
On our bumpers? We may not. Yeah. I don't think so.
That's okay. That's all right. So, number 10, I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus from the Jackson 5. 129 beats per minute.
Really? I didn't realize it was that fast.
Wouldn't think that one. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Seems like one of the slower ones, I would have thought. Yeah, yeah.
They must have just sped it up.
There is a few things more fun, I think, more fun sounding to me. Maybe it's my generation or whatever and everything. A young Michael Jackson, like the Jackson 5 songs. It can be some of the more bluesy stuff, but also some of the more fun music. Michael seemed like he was
enjoying himself. Yeah,
yeah, it really seemed like it.
I don't know if he was, but yeah.
Yeah, it definitely seemed like it. At number 9, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas from Judy Garland, 137 beats per minute.
Specifically from Judy Garland, okay.
I love the idea of anything Judy Garland related having a parental advisory sticker on it.
It's too fast.
You gotta slow down. Gotta slow down with the Judy. Well,
and the thing is that the music is fast in these songs, but the singing is slow. The music is what the singing is.
That's true, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it's so weird. It's
very interesting.
Yeah.
At number 8, I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day from Wizard, 140 beats per minute. I honestly
what is
don't
that?
Know that one. I don't know that one.
Oh, I'm not going to make a list here. I got to figure this out here.
Yeah.
Maybe have to add
future
a few bumpers.
Coming.
Yeah. It's going to be a rotating thing of bumpers this year.
At number seven, and this is interesting. I think this is the only one on the list without a. It doesn't matter who the artist is. It's just the song itself. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, 142 beats per minute.
Yes, we do have that one on bumpers, by the way.
Yeah.
All right.
Now that is one that I could see. Actually, that's the first one that makes a little sense to
it
me.
It does. Yeah.
Let's see.
The Red-Nosed Reindeer.
At number six.
It's a little more up-tempo.
Yeah.
Yep.
At number six, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow from Frank Sinatra, 143 beats per minute.
There's a couple of versions of that, I think, that are a little bit quicker, too, without having to hear Frank sing, which is paramount for me.
That one does seem to be a little bit faster than one. Yeah, yeah, I can see that. I'm trying to find this Wizard song.
Are you able to see it?
I feel like I might have found it. Everything. Okay. We'll see. We'll check when we go to break.
Okay.
We'll check there. At number five, Happy Xmas, War Is Over, John Lennon, Yoko Ono, the Plastic Ono Band.
Oh, yeah, we got that on there.
146 beats
per
minute. 146. Really? Right. That one right there. That is
right, right there.
So this is Christmas. And what have you done?
Again, the music is twice as fast as the singing.
That's true. Well, I hadn't thought about that, yeah.
All right, I think we just figured out part of the what you need to do to create a new Christmas song and to get that royalty money. To get
there you go.
To be able to do that.
Yeah.
The beat needs to be fast.
Fast.
But the
slow singing on top of it. There you go, yeah.
That's interesting. I don't think I've ever thought
and
of that, Melissa.
And you too can cause car crashes.
Yes. And maybe have a hit.
And at the same time. There you go.
Santa Claus Is Coming to Town from the Jackson 5 comes in at number 4, 147 beats per minute.
The Jackson 5, they had some, upbeat stuff, so that makes total sense, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that one is not too surprising.
No, not at all.
Feliz Navidad from Jose Feliciano.
Oh, yeah.
149 beats.
Mm-hmm.
One of my least favorite Christmas songs.
One of the more up-tempo ones. Yeah,
very much so,
one of the more up-tempo ones. I used to, as a kid, I loved that one, Melissa, and then I grew up in Spanish neighborhoods.
Is that all they played?
This is why, and I have made this joke many times with all of my friends growing up, because I had Cuban, Puerto Rican, Mexican friends, and every one of those groups loves this song.
And they played it all the time.
Now, sometimes you get over to like a little Puerto Rico town or something like that, and they're playing their version of it, but it's the same song. It's the same one over and over again. And it's a beautiful song that I have heard maybe more than any other Christmas song in my life. Yeah.
That's funny.
And if it wasn't that one, it might have been this one right here. At number two, I think we all knew this one was coming. All I Want for Christmas Is You, Mariah Carey, 150 beats per minute.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. How about that? My goodness.
And honestly, that would have been my pick. Mm-hmm. And not for any other reason, honestly, if I'm being real, is that it's a more modern Christmas song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I would have just thought that, just randomly that
I know what you mean by that. You'd think that it would be a more upbeat, because you kind of tend to, like the ones from like the 40s and the 50s, you think more flow, kind of a mid-tempo maybe kind of thing. Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
And at number one, anybody want to take a guess at the most dangerous Christmas song there is?
I got an idea. The Chipmunks Christmas song.
Oh,
nope.
Good
I'm going to say Jingle Bell Rock.
Oh, both good guesses, you guys. Both of them. I already said my guess would have been the Mariah Carey song.
Yeah.
And we're all wrong.
We're all wrong.
It's Frosty the Snowman from Gene Autry.
Really?
At 172 beats per minute.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Didn't see that coming.
I blame Gene.
I mean,
it's all your fault, Gene.
He's a bit of an up-tempo guy. Yeah. Such a great song.
It's
a great song. I would not have thought, like, off the top of my head, I wouldn't have thought that was way more beats per minute than any of these others. In comparison, the 172 to Mariah's 150 or the Jackson 5's I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus at 129 beats per minute. Mm-hmm. That's a big difference.
That's a big jump. Mm-hmm. It really is. My goodness. I had, growing up, the Gene Autry Christmas album. So that was on there. I had all his singing all his Christmas ones with, of course, Rudolph, of course, the one he made famous. But yeah,
it's a good one. It's a good one.
Good thing you never crashed your car while you were listening.
No, well, it was a record, so we didn't.
That would have been difficult.
I didn't bring it with.
Well, nobody's crashes their sled. We will take a quick time out. We will be back with more show here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Okay. That is the Wizards' I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day. That was one of the songs that we had on our list just recently.
Yeah, never heard it.
At 140
Never heard
per
that
minute.
Song before.
And I just want everybody to note on their calendars a song that Seth has not heard of. we should all note that. We should all take that up. This was a Christmas song recorded by British glam rock band Wizard with two Z's. It was released in December of 73.
So, oh, wow.
It's a big one. Hit Christmas. The song has was beaten to the 1973 Christmas number one spot by Slade's Merry Christmas Everybody, but otherwise was a huge hit over there.
Oh, my God. Okay. Roy Wood was a member of that band?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's weird. That's weird.
It's interesting. Yep. Very.
Going to send Seth on a deep dive.
Yeah. We've really created something there.
I think I'm going to say no to Wizard with two Z's. I'm going to avoid that one.
If you bought a Christmas tree this year, real or fake, it is probably safe to say you weren't, maybe you were or weren't okay with the price, but you definitely are going to feel better once you heard how much they spent on this one. You can feel good about that. The world's most expensive Christmas tree has been unveiled in Germany, and it's not one of those mammoth ones that people, you know, have from time to time.
Right.
It's not even a real tree. It's 10 feet tall, solid gold, and was created with 2,024 gold Vienna Philharmonic coins. 2024 for the year 2024.
Gotcha. Okay.
Good grief.
Calling it a Christmas tree is quite the stretch. It doesn't even look like an actual tree. It's just the coins in that shape of the tree, which in a cone with four sides.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's topped with 24 karat gold coins instead of a star or an angel. And the, quote, tree is worth more than $5 million and was created by a precious metals company for publicity, so it's not for sale. Which is really a crux to the three of us, because I know how much we were really looking forward to.
We were looking forward to getting that, man.
I'm showing Seth the, quote, tree.
It looks like, okay, all right. It looks like either a weird-shaped pyramid, a very long pyramid, or a wizard's hat.
Yeah, it looks like...
a very stiff one.
It looks like what would have happened if the Egyptians weren't creative. I don't know.
They had no idea what geometry was. Yeah, you know, right?
Just like, make a cylinder. I don't know.
But how do we do the top part? I don't understand.
We got to confuse people in the future. Let's go ahead and make something.
Those crazy Egyptians.
Yep, this is my people. I know what they were up to. We see these kind of things from time to time, especially during the holiday season, of the world's biggest this or the most expensive this that, or whatever. Yeah, and I have my whole life wondered, who is this for? Who are they doing this for? And especially in this day and age, I can't imagine many things seeming more out of touch or more foolish, honestly, to use words that I can on the air. I don't get it. I just don't know who this is for or anything. And I really, my brain has a habit of seeing the other side to arguments,
right,
even when I don't want to. I got nothing on this one.
Yeah, what is the point? Even if you are, say, a precious metals company, and you are doing this just for publicity, $5 million? Why?
Think of the publicity you get. If you know what, we're going to do this with $5 million, but instead we gave it to the World Food Bank.
Hey,
you know, or something like that.
Yeah,
I feel like that'd be some pretty good PR.
I'm telling you,
a marketing team. Oh, you know, it this isn't rocket science. This isn't actually that difficult to do or anything.
No,
aligning yourself with nonprofits tends to work out pretty good for people.
You know, people like that.
Giving this time of year, people seem to like
that.
They
like that, yeah.
That seems like a pretty good idea to me. I don't know.
Nope, we're going
to
make a solid gold 10-foot Christmas tree that doesn't even look like a Christmas tree.
Yep. Well, the answer is because they can.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
The dirty little secret. Can. Yes, Melissa.
So true. I really wanted a different answer, but there isn't one. There isn't one.
You're
100%
isn't.
Right. You're 100% right on that.
Well, we had all these gold coins laying around. Might as well do something with them.
Yeah, right. And
but here's the caveat, guys. It's not quite as valuable as it could have been because the gold rate has tumbled in the second half of 2018.
Take that.
I bite my thumb at you, sir.
Yes, exactly. I don't know. I don't know what to do with that one. But I will say I was going to mention this as well, and maybe this is a bit of a confusing one for people, too. It is official. Americans bought a lot on Cyber Monday. Adobe Analytics tracks holiday spending each year, and Cyber Monday set a new record for biggest online shopping day ever in the U.S.
Wow.
We collectively spent $13.3 billion. That is up 7% from last year. But, of course, all we heard was inflation, and nobody has any money coming into the election. So this can't be right, right?
I don't understand.
For one two-hour stretch Monday night, we were spending more than $15 million every minute.
Whoa. Wow.
The hot products this year include TVs, wireless headphones, computers, stuffed animals, and then Nintendo Switch Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
So that was like three electronic things and then stuffed animals.
Yeah.
One of these things is not like the other.
Buy the electronic things now, because pretty soon you're not going to be able to afford them.
That's true, because most of them aren't made in the United States.
Correct.
Did people know that?
Yeah.
They're going to find out.
Yeah. It feels like a good portion of the people did not do their homework when it came to the election. We also set a new record for total online spending between Thanksgiving Day and Cyber Monday, just over $41
billion. Okay. Wow. That's a lot of money.
Crazy.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot.
We were talking gold trees and now billions of dollars. I don't know, man.
Well, the funny thing is, it sounds like they do that gold tree thing every year, because I was reading an article from 2018. There was one from 2024.
Oh, really?
I would need to look into it. But yeah, I think that's a thing they do.
They do every year.
Maybe not every year, but at least in 2018 and in 2024.
Why not? Why not?
Interesting. And what does it say? Okay, this is the first time we're hearing about it. Like, if they're doing it for marketing purposes and everything, and we've never heard of it before.
We weren't privy to it before. Right. It was for an exclusive group.
And I say that knowing we are a Central Wisconsin morning show in a media market, I get that. But I will say that knowing the producer of this show for the last 8-9 years has scoured the earth for content.
Not like he hasn't been looking.
I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's working very well. And there is no possible way they're finishing in the black as far as their budget and marketing
right,
and everything.
Yeah.
You just spent $5 million.
Come on. It's like, unless that's the only thing they do every year, that's it.
Just put that tree up and take it back down. Take some 6 hours to put all those coins in place. Come on. Can't you think about the workers here?
Think of the workers. That is some, like, as somebody who's done a lot of construction and built a lot of homes in my life, you know, bricks, mortar, a lot of that, it can weigh a lot. Gold? That's a little different.
That's really heavy. Yeah.
Also the heaviest.
Yes.
I'm taking a bar and I'm going home. That's what I'm doing.
That's hard, James, because they're in coin shape.
Yeah, it's not difficult. It's very difficult. A Florida family found some difficultness when they thought they were being pranked after an inflatable Grinch Christmas decoration vanished from their yard. But security camera footage showed the thief was after something more than picnic baskets.
Oh, really?
Sanique Suarez said her family decorated their Golden Gates estate home for Christmas in November, and on the day after Thanksgiving, they discovered their inflatable Grinch had been stolen.
Oh, no.
We were just dumbfounded, she told the local radios and local news station. We were like, where did it go? Suarez said she suspected the incident had been a prank when a neighbor texted her a few days. They thought it was a prank until somebody had texted them a few days later to say the Grinch had been found two houses away from her family's home.
Oh.
The Dr. Seuss character was put back in place, but Soros received an alert from her security camera on Wednesday and checked it to see a bear attacking the Grinch.
Oh, no.
She said, I never expected to see that. I thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. What is going on here? We were texting back and forth, her and her family, as they were all watching the video.
Oh, my gosh.
The bear dragged the Grinch off into the nearby woods. Soros said her family was able to find it later, but it was too damaged to make a return to the yard.
Yeah, tangled with a bear. Yeah. Jeez.
But she did say that it was worth it because they have an amazing story to tell them and their family.
That's true.
Florida bears have been known to tamper with holiday decorations in the past. We've actually covered these kind of stories quite a bit in our That Ain't Right section. Longwood resident E.J. Levine shared video last year of a bear attacking the light-up reindeer decorations in his family's yard.
It was just resentful. I think that bear was just trying to be good, you know, get rid of the Grinch. But they forgot that his heart grew two times. So
I'm going to take the task of the bear didn't know the Grinch story, and he just saw a green monster in somebody's yard. He was saving them. Yes, he was saving the family.
Trying to help.
It was a really bear. Heartwarming Christmas story. The bear only had their best interests at heart.
Yeah. This is why we always tell you in your front yards this time of year, you just need the bear essentials. You don't need to be putting out there all these other
bear necessities.
Oh gosh.
I'm out, everybody.
Yes.
The next hour,
if he's not leaving on his own, I'm kicking him out.
Yes.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM.